there are many young people here. He thinks I'm little. In Zambia, you saw huts. And in my country, every time I've been to different churches, they expect to see a giant, a big, and then said, where's that missionary? It's the big woman. And I'm like, okay. So many times I went to churches and I pretend I belong to them. And they expected to see somebody big because they compared me with the huts. And many times I have to go down and enter the hut. And in their mind, they thought, that's a big woman and tough. And there were places where children are like, I'm looking for the big missionary with the big heart. I'm like, okay. She might have a big heart, but she ain't big. Not what you think. Because they compare me with the houses and the people. And the people are very small because of hunger. And I love the song, God is still a good, good father. And I know that many people might say, why is he a good father? It's not possible. I'm hurt. I've been broken. And people are destroying me. And like the millenniums are, oh, there's no hope for us. You know what? I see great hope in the young people today. But also, there's a danger there. And I see younger people and children. And I have a story for the younger children. I remember when I was in Zambia one time. I know, I'll be fast. I can talk. I was in Zambia and many, many young kids were following me. And one time I was walking and a small child was carrying a little dead bird in his hand. And many times they follow me, 50, 100 or more, and then the grass was big. And then we find a place and we sit under mango. I tell them about God. And as we're walking, trying to find a big mango tree, this young boy with a little dead bird start crying. I said, what's wrong? So, oh, you don't understand. My bird is gone. What happened? He took it. A bigger boy was there taking his bird. I said, and I was thinking like a Romanian. I thought maybe he's taking it home, bury it, and have a funeral. I said, no, you don't understand. That was my lunch. And me and my brothers were supposed to go home and cook it and eat it. I'm like, okay, you give the bird back, and you go ahead and find your own bush rats and mice and whatever else is there to find. And they were happy. God is still a good, good father. No matter whether, like even Africa, if they have food or not, he's still a good father. Why? Because he's still God and he's sovereign God. He makes no mistake. I grew up in a communist and I remember I see the young people there. I was very young when my mom took me to church. And she always said, as for me and my house, we shall serve God. There's no debate. We serve God. And we are like, okay, mom, you don't understand. At school, they tell us there's no God. We live under communists and everything. And they try to brainwash everybody. I say, no, there's no God. This is not true. And the Bibles, many times Americans will send Bibles. And if they find them, they'll take them and make toilet paper out of the Bible. Because they knew, the leaders of those days, the communists, they knew if the people have the word of God, there's power here. And they didn't want us to know that. And as I start going to church with my mom being small, I start listening and listening. And God's word many times was boring. Honest, I agree with the kids. Sometimes was boring, like fell asleep and wake up. But many, many times God penetrated my heart. And my brothers, I have 6 brothers and 3 sisters, so we're 10. Only 10. And as we grew up, my mom said, as for me and my house, we shall serve God. And before I was born, my mom got saved a year prior and said, I dedicated you to serve God. Are you understanding that? Sure, I didn't understand. But I knew before we were even born, my mom prayed for us and said, I'm going to dedicate you to serve God. And you're going to serve God because you belong to God. I haven't dedicated you but to serve God. And we learn also many verses of the Bible. And as we went to church, I started listening. And there were times when I listened, I said, I want to serve God. God is a good, good God. I'm going to serve him. Makes no difference what people say. I'm going to serve him. And also another verse that was very important. Says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else all added to you. And I was thinking as a child, I seek God first, but many times I want to seek things like everybody else. And I chose to follow what God says. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. And my mom always said, look, I might not be with you all the times, but just know God is there. Every step you make, make sure you make it with God. And I've learned to fear God as a small child. And I learned to say, God, I want to serve you. I want to fear you. And no matter what happened, I'm going to walk with you. And again, under the communists, there were regulation. You couldn't do this because you are a Christian. They used to laugh at us, say, hey, you are repentant. But all the people, like preachers, they were put in jail, literally, or even killed because they're Christians. And we learn to stand for God because not who we were, but who God was in us. I got saved at age 12. And by age 17, I kept reading the Bible. Every day, I spent time in God. I spent time with God in the Word. I did not need my mom. I opened the Bible and read it for myself every single day. And I've learned if I keep my focus on God and if I seek him first and his righteousness, makes no difference. If the whole country want to follow and be communist and follow the devil, it's your problem. I said, God is my father. And if God is my father, he's the king of kings. And I need to behave like a daughter of a king of kings. And that changed my view in life. And yes, there are difficult times. I understand the young people. Sometimes they'll laugh at us and they'll do whatever. But it's okay. I even had kids spitting on me because I was a Christian or throw rocks. I said, it's okay. You don't do it to me. You do it to God Almighty. Okay, go ahead. You're going to have to deal with God. And by age 17, I read so many missionary books and God touched my heart. And I said, I want to be a missionary. And I was thinking, it's impossible. No one could have left the country in those days. You couldn't be a missionary. You couldn't even serve God in the church. And I prayed. I was about 17, and I prayed, God, I looked at the sky, I said, God, I know you are God Almighty. All things are possible with you. If you want me to serve you as a missionary, even though I'm a woman, because in my country they say you need to be a man and wear pants in order to serve God. As a woman, you couldn't serve God. That's what they taught us. So as a woman, they say you need to stay home, have babies, and cook, and that's the job of a woman. As a man, you can go and serve God. And I said, God, you are God Almighty. You created me for a great purpose, and I am a child of you. I'm the child of a king. You make a miracle. All things are possible with you. Open the border of this country and allow me to serve you wherever you send me. My desire was to go either Australia or Africa. And guess what? Not long after the revolution came, the president got killed, and America started sending Bibles. We had Bibles everywhere. And I was already saved, and I already knew the Bible, but I had a deep desire to know more about God. And I didn't care what everybody said. I didn't care if they would laugh at me or throw stones. I'm like, it's okay. I'm going to follow what God said. And I remember I prayed. I said, God, I really want to learn more about you. And because of people like you that sent missionaries, some missionaries came to Romania in early 90s after the revolution. And they started a Bible college, which was unheard. You couldn't have a Bible college in those days. And I went there. I said, I want to learn more about God. I said, why would you want to be here? I just want to know more about God. And I dropped everything. And my dad said, you're not going anywhere. You're too young to leave home in our hometown. And I prayed. And God opened the door. And I went to the Bible college, and while being there, I felt like God is calling me to go to Africa. And I do remember, I know my time is finished. 5 minutes? How much time? He's got to preach. I remember in 98, there was a big conference, mission conference, and many missionaries from America that were sent to Eastern Europe. They met in Romania. I was a part of that. And they talked of a need. Who's going to go? And I was sitting there on the back, and I was thinking, they're right. Americans have been sent missionaries, people from UK and other parts of Europe, London and other places send missionaries. Romania haven't sent anyone. I said, God, but I don't have money. I said, I got all the money you need. I need to know if you go. And I felt like God says, I want to send you to Africa. I said, why Africa? And I felt in my heart, say, if I send you somewhere else to America or Canada, they think, yeah, sure, she's a missionary to America. I don't think so. But I felt like God says, if I send you to Africa, to a place far worse than where you've been as a communist, people listen. And they know that is God. And if I send you, even though you don't have money, I will provide. And you know what? I've been there for 20 years. And I'm still alive. I nearly died a few times. I really nearly died a few times of malaria and other things. But I've learned one thing that many people don't realize. If I don't get sick, there were times when I was so sick with malaria and other things, I said, God, if you don't keep me alive, I'll be dead by morning. And I stayed in a bush where even if you go to a small clinic or a hospital, they give you like aspirin or Advil. Everybody, what's wrong with you? I have headache. Take Advil. What's wrong with you? I got cancer. Take Advil. What's wrong with you? Everything it gives you painkillers, technically. And I've learned, if God is a healer, I need to be sick. And I've been sick. I nearly died many times. And God healed me. Why? Because there is power with God. If we seek God and His righteousness, He is going to come through. If we are sick, He can heal us. If we are in need of something, He can provide. And 5 more minutes. And I remember, I'm just, I see young people that, and I'm just thinking about, I know young people say, you don't understand our times. I do. And I remember, again, in 2016, many friends of mine kept saying, when are you getting married? I'm like, I don't know. I'll wait on God. And I've learned as a child, fear God, seeking Him first, and God will provide everything. And God can provide every money that we need, and He provided money, and I'm still alive. He provided the food. And there was a time when I said, God, I have delighted myself in You. And You said in Your word, if you delight yourself in Me, I shall give you the desire of your heart. I said, You haven't given me the desire of my heart yet. And everybody, every time when I go home, they say, hey, time is ticking. I say, I know. Again, I go next year, time is ticking. After a while, my mom said, forget it. Her clock is broke. It's maybe she lost the key, like the old-fashioned. She lost the key and forget it. And in 2016, I remember I was in a place, and I looked at the sky, and in my heart I knew God hasn't given me the desire of my heart yet. And I knew, God, I've served You, and I've delighted myself in You, and I'm living in Your righteousness. And I looked at the sky, I said, God, have You forgotten about me? And immediately I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, God hasn't forgotten. And I said, God, have You forgotten? You said You give me the desire of my heart. And I felt like God says, wait on Me. Delight yourself in Me more than ever. Spend time with Me. And pray and fast. And I will. In 1 year, I'll give You the desire of Your heart. Do you think God lies? No. And all my friends in this year, there was 1 year. And my friend said, no, I'm going to hook you with this one or that one. I said, no, I don't want to be hooked. You don't know. If you hook me, you hook me to the wrong thing, and I don't want that. I want God to come through. And I said, I know, you're going to laugh at this one. And I said, I'm going to wait for Prince Charlie, and I don't have to kiss all the frogs until Prince Charlie shows up. God will give me exactly what I need. And you know what happened? I prayed and fasted for 1 year. I spent more time in the Word of God like I never did before. And about May, the year was about to finish, and this was May, and July was the time when I prayed the previous year. By May, I received the call, said, oh, do you want to go have a coffee with me? I said, no, I'm sorry. And then I felt like God said, okay, don't just leave it there. Explain that you're going to start the fast. That's why you can't have a cup of coffee with Him. And that's what I did. I prayed and fasted. I said, God, I surrender. I surrender all. You tell me what You want me to do. I'm going to do what You want, not what I want. And within very short time, God has given me a husband, just like that. So I didn't have to kiss all the frogs all over, and God just showed up. Why? Because he's a great and mighty God, which means if he did that for me, he orchestrated everything perfectly, and he's not forgetting about us. So no matter what we go through, God is still the same. And I really believe he can still answer prayers even now, but we need to ask. And again, God is a good, good father. The question is, are we going to trust him and do what he wants, or are we going to do what we want and then say, okay, you are my father, but you're not good because you didn't do da-da-da. God is still good, and I see great future in a young generation if they put their trust in God, not on things of this, whatever happens. Like if I grew up in a communist and God made a whole the whole country to switch around from a communist turn around towards God, why not in this church and everywhere else? I know my time is been finished. And may God bless you.